But dumbing us down went beyond just academics. As we've already discussed, education laws for the first 150 years of American existence had religious intentions. Education, which involves the transfer of values, is inescapably religious. Thus, religion and education are inseparable. Thus, if education was to be dumbed down, there had also to be a dumbing down of religious values that were the foundation for early American education. In a 1983 article in The Humanist, John Dunphy wrote, "The battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public school classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as proselytizers of a new faith, a religion of humanity that recognizes and respects the spark of what theologians call divinity in every human being. These teachers must embody the same selfless dedication as the most rabid fundamentalist preachers, for they will be ministers of another sort, utilizing a classroom instead of a pulpit to convey humanist values in whatever subjects they teach, regardless of the education level, preschool, daycare, or large university. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new, the rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism, resplendent in its premise of a world in which the never-realized Christian idea of love thy neighbor will finally be achieved." Humanism, the belief that man himself is God, is behind the revolution that has taken place in American education over the past 200 years, from control by parents to control by the state. In order to discard the scriptural foundation of early American education, the humanists had to come up with another explanation for man's beginning, one that made man the ultimate deity and not God. They found it in the theory of evolution, as proposed by Charles Darwin's 1869 book On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection. Charlotte Iserby points out that after the famous Scopes monkey trial, Fabian socialist and first head of UNESCO, Sir Julian Huxley, claimed that humanism's keynote, the central concept to which all its details are related, is evolution. She continues, "Educational and training methods in the future would be based on the theory of evolution, that man is an animal to be trained as Pavlov, Thorndike, and Skinner trained animals, as with outcome-based education, mastery learning, and direct instruction. Now only the theory of evolution is taught in most tax-supported government-run schools. Creationism is forbidden because of the manufactured requirement for separation of church and state. That evolution, which is not science and which requires more faith to be accepted than does the idea of intelligent design, is accepted by default in, quote, educational institutions, unquote, that purport to exalt intelligent thought over religious superstition is proof in itself that we've been dumbed down academically. Likewise, our near universal acceptance of an understanding of the First Amendment that is exactly the reverse of what it says." So evolution's dubious insertion into the American education system accomplished two critical purposes. It excluded God and any accountability to a higher authority, and it conditioned us to accept being trained like animals to fit into what our humanist handlers deemed to be our proper social and vocational roles. Fitting into our proper social roles. Now that's the language of proponents of socialization, the ultimate purpose of government-run or any institutional schooling. And it's easy to overlook all that concept entails. Most children learn how to act by socializing with other children, but other children are not often good role models. But even though its effect is almost universally negative, children's socialization is often the first concern of parents because we've been conditioned to believe that interaction with others is even more essential than academic instruction. And that conditioning, unfortunately, also extends to many parents who educate their children apart from government schools. There are at least two motivations for this argument, and neither is good. The first springs from a humanistic belief in man's perfectibility, and the second from a statist desire to control the palette of values from which a child may choose in order to train good citizens. The early humanists who took over schooling in Massachusetts had a rather unique and unscientific view of the bad apple principle. You know the one, put a bad apple into a barrel of good apples and you'll spoil them all. Their view, on the contrary, was that if you put bad children into an educational institution alongside good children, the good would rub off on the bad. They implored parents to abandon their private academies and to put their children into the government-run common schools for the good of all citizens. Unfortunately, most Protestants were willing to come together for the religious exercise known as education on the basis of what they shared in common. But humanist theories about improving the bad children by exposing them to the good never worked. They served only to place all children under common state control. More recently, Stanford University professor Rob Reich wrote, "It must be the function of the school setting to expose children to and engage children with values and beliefs other than those of their parents, in order that a child may know that there are ways of life other than that into which he or she has been born." Well, Reich is concerned that homeschooling parents can severely limit social interaction and thereby curtail the opportunities that their child will have to encounter other children from different backgrounds. He's alarmed at parents who wish to control the socialization of their own children so completely as to instill inerrant beliefs in their own worldview or unquestioning obedience to their own or others' authority, and at parents who are eager to prevent their children from being exposed to anything contrary to the moral and spiritual values they wish their children to learn. Reich says, "Parental authority must end when its exercise compromises the development of their children into adults capable of independent functioning, or when it disables or retards the development of minimal autonomy in children." He says, "Children must achieve the minimal degree of autonomy necessary to provide them with options other than that into which they've been born. They must have an effective right of exit. Children are owed, as a matter of justice, the capacity to choose to lead lives, to adopt values and beliefs, pursue an occupation, endorse new traditions that are different from those of their parents. Because the child cannot him or herself ensure the acquisition of such capacities, and the parents may be opposed to such acquisition, the state must ensure it for them. The state must guarantee that children are educated for minimal autonomy." End of quote.